Well, if you've never been to a baptism before, you have now. Amen? And you know, and this is what happens when the body gets together and we just simply obey the word of God. Thank you. And we obey the word of God, right? The scripture says, as Pastor Tom said, just accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and be baptized. Amen. Very simple. And it's a symbol, obviously, of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where that old man is dead. And how many know every one of us in here have some old thoughts that have to die? And we need a little bit of help, amen? And that's why the good Lord gave us the word of God. And as we read the word of God, it renews our minds. We get rid of that old thinking. Because, you know, once we come into Christ, every one of them talked about their history. Can I tell you, we need to learn a new history. Amen. Nobody needs to know your history once you're baptized. Everybody, we need to learn a whole new history. And it goes right back to the cross. We need to know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's plan from Genesis to Revelation to set every one of his children free, to have a relationship with them, one that was established before the world was created. This is the history that we need to be studying, and this is the history that we need to be sharing, not your history, but the history of the one that set you free. Your friends will not be transformed by the power of your history. They'll be transformed by the power of his love. Amen? And the power of his word and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're just so grateful that you're here. And we don't know what tomorrow brings. My bride and myself and some others, we were down in Kingston yesterday. And Pastor Josh down there, he's got an amazing church, King's Fire in Kingston. And they've got 10 children, him and his bride. And the number 5, their fifth child, their son, he was killed in a car accident a week ago. Just driving and lost control of the car, nothing, just a wet road and not so good tires. How many know we've all made that mistake before? You know, I was talking to a mechanic and I said, there's one thing I always tell my kids, don't play games with tires and brakes. And he said, well, tires, yeah, brakes were always optional. But, you know, we were down there yesterday, over 1,000 people came through that church yesterday. Whole bunch of young people, because he touched their lives with his life by the time he was 21. And then, you know, if we're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, then the issue is how many people's lives are being changed because of the new you. Isn't that the issue? Right? Because as my wife prophesied earlier when she was singing, that when we live for Jesus Christ, then other people's lives are changed around us. When we live for the Lord, other people's lives are infected or affected by the Christ that lives on the inside of us. And that's what happened yesterday. Is 1,000 people came through, the church was packed. They had TVs downstairs, and that was packed. And 5 young men gave their lives to Christ yesterday in their 20s. And I want to encourage you to live for him every day. These guys just got baptized, and it's a whole new world. Because every lie has been destroyed. Every sin has been washed away. And nothing but the love of God do they have to fill their hearts with now through the power of his word. When you know you're loved, you act differently, don't you? Come on, you've gone into somebody's house, or maybe it's a family holiday, I don't know. But you've walked into a house in times, in different houses, and it's like, we better be on our best behavior, right? Or maybe you had that thought, how fast can we get out of here? So a lot more people have had that one than me, huh? But when you walk into those where you know you're loved, what do? You just walk in and yay! And you just have a good time, and you know, because when you know you're loved, you're free. And that's what God wants you to know this morning. He wants you to know that he's madly in love with you. I don't know who's here. There's a whole bunch of visitors, and we're so grateful you're here. Yeah. We've only got one desire, that every single person would come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Yeah. Everyone that we meet, everyone on the street, no matter where we walk. And I don't know where you're at, but I want you to know God's madly in love with you. Amen. He said that he loves you with an everlasting love. It's a love that never dies, it never changes. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do, it'll never, ever change. His love for you stays the same. That's why some people that come in here on Sunday act like lunatics. Because they know they're loved. Right? When you know you're loved, you can relax and enjoy. If you're not sure and you think that people are looking at you, you're confused. Nobody's paying no attention to you. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And when you fall in love with him, oh, it's easy to shout hallelujah unto his name because he is worthy. So we just want to encourage you today. The Bible says that there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's an act of faith. And the only way that we can please God is through what? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right. So it's by faith. It's an act of faith that you receive Jesus Christ and you acknowledge that he's the Son of the living God, that he was born, he was raised for a time, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. And at that moment, he destroyed the power of death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Over every life that believes. Because the scripture says there's no way to the Father except through the Son. No way. There's only one way to God. People say, you're narrow-minded, preacher. Yes, I am. I'm as narrow-minded as you can possibly get. All I can see is a hole about that big, and it's filled with the face of Jesus. Because there is no one else on the face of this planet that can wash away your sins but Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there is no God besides him. Amen? That's it. Any other way is a lie. And there's a lot of lies out there. But not in here. It's just his word. So, you know, last week I was over in Athens with Pastor Paul and the church over there, Lighthouse Church. Every time I say Lighthouse, I say Strong Tower. Every time I say Strong Tower, I say Lighthouse. So, and then four more people got baptized in the Holy Ghost while we were over there last week and just had a wonderful time with them. Can I just tell you, it's a time and a season on the planet right now that God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And it's a time and a season for those that don't know him to come to know him, and those that do know him but have drawn back. The Bible says there's no time right now to draw back under perdition, but it's a time to press in. God's desire is that we press into his word, we press into his presence, we press into prayer, we press into worship. And when we do, because he said, if you seek me, you shall find me. So this is a time to press in. And God gives us the ability and the strength to do that. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to read there.
My voice is a little scratchy today. I think it's from shouting in worship. You know, that worship team, they get singing and they just get me all riled up. I thank God for them gifts. Man, and those instruments, incredible. You know, what God gives us in order to drown out my voice.
Praise God. That's my friend Kim.
And we're going to start in 1 Samuel 10, chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 1. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and he poured it on the head and kissed him. And he said, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelza. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, what shall I do about my son? And then you will go on further from there and you will come as far as the Oak of Tabor. And there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying three young goats and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. And afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them. And they shall be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come upon you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And so as we read these scriptures, we remember that this is a time and a season when God had led all of Israel out of Egypt. He met every one of their needs. He led them with his hand. It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, so the cloud protected them from the heat, and the fire at night gave them the warmth and the cold. I don't know if you've ever been to the desert, but it gets chilly out there at night. Drastic temperatures, and God supplied every one of the needs that they have. Their clothes didn't wear out. The food was there. And we tend to complain about everything, don't we, as humans? That even when angels were making bread every morning, it wasn't enough. Isn't that incredible? No matter what God supplied, they wanted more. And so here we know that Moses led them out, and then Moses was faithful. Joshua came up after Moses, and he was faithful. And all the elders that came with Joshua, they were all faithful. And then at the end of that, the children of Israel said, "We want a king like the rest of the world. We don't want to have to listen to your voice. We don't want to just follow you. We want to be able to see someone like the rest of the world." And so here, Samuel brings them up, and what did the Lord say? He said, "Give them their desire." How amazing is God? But he said, "When your desire, here's what's going to come. They're going to take your sons, and they're going to make them they're going to use them to build chariots. They're going to put them on the front line for war. They're going to come and they're going to serve the king. He's going to take the food from your fields. He's going to take 10, 20% in order to feed his whole entourage. He's going to take your daughters, and they're going to cook and clean, and they're going to work for him in the palace, and they're going to serve him. He's going to take the choice of everything you had." And they said, "That's okay. We'll sacrifice all of them so that we can have what we want." That's what man said. God said, "I want you all to be free." Man said, "We don't want to be free. We want to be bound." Now, a lot of times we don't say that in our lives. We don't tell other people that, but we live bound. Because how many deny the power of God's word and they live in their fear, right? How long does it take to destroy that fear in our lives when we spent 20 and 30 years building it in there, watching the stupid movies, building fear every day, living the lie? So many feel like they have no value because someone else lied to them. And people live in it their whole life. They live the lie rather than in the truth that you're loved with an everlasting love. How many people walk through through life with just rejection? "Nobody loves me. I'm all by myself." I want you to know you're not by yourself. Look around. There's a whole bunch of crazy people in here. They've fallen in love with God, and they've found that the love of God was more than enough for what they need, and they've got enough for you. Right? Tell your neighbor, say, "I got more than enough for you." Tell your other neighbor, say, "I'm working on you." No, I got enough for you too. You see, because when man gets involved and man tries to dictate his future, God gives you that freedom. But it ends in bondage. Jesus said, "I have come to set you free. Free from the lie of who you think you are, to tell you who you really are. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God." You know, Israel was released. God supplied their needs. And now they wanted a king. Samuel gave them the desires of their heart. And they started to walk out that plan that they had. You know, God blesses man most when he lifts man out of his thoughts and into his counsel. That's where we're blessed the most. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have very wise counsel. Because most of the time, we're wrapped up in every day instead of eternal. That 21-year-old boy didn't have any more days. His days are over and he stands before the Lord. How many people with the wisdom of this world, whatever they're chasing after, they're building their kingdoms inside of God's kingdom, and spending their whole lives. And then when we stand before the Lord, we have nothing to offer except the wisdom that we use to build our kingdom. But when his thoughts become our thoughts, oh, everything starts to change. Amen? When his thoughts become our thoughts, you know, the promise that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and the result you will speak
He said that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, we had like 14 people or 15 people get baptized in the Holy Ghost a couple weeks ago, right? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, what did he say to Saul? You will be changed into a different man. This is what happens. Those that got baptized, you're different this morning. I'm sorry, what's your name again? Corey? Corey, you're a different man now. All the guilt is gone. All the lies are gone. All the sin has been washed away. Everything in your life becomes new. Everything right now. It's not about reading and studying. It's about right now. You're brand new. Every single one that got baptized, all things have been made new. See, now, you can believe that or you can say, I don't believe it. That's what the devil always does, isn't it? Good. Don't be his advocate. Just agree. What God's word said is true. And that's what we're going to stand on. But he said, when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you're baptized, you're going to be changed into a different man. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm different. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're definitely different. Right? You see, because now look at, different is good. Different is good. Who wants the same all the time? You're different. You're going to think different. You're going to act different. This is about us now starting to agree with what he said about us so that we start to walk different. God wants each one of us to be walking different. Amen? And how wonderful is God? Here the children of Israel, they come and they say, we don't want to follow you. We want to listen to a man. We want somebody we can see. We want to see the palace that they're going to build like these other kings are doing. He said, we don't want to do it that way, that your way anymore. And God says, okay, I'm going to let you do this. And then he comes to Saul and he says, I'm going to give you something that's going to make you strong. You notice God didn't put a stumbling block in their way. What a wonderful king. What a wonderful father. How about you? Have you ever put stumbling blocks in your kids' way? How many other people have come alongside you and tried to put a stumbling block? Because they were jealous or they were upset or they were angry or they had unforgiveness towards you. How many times have we spoken things that became roadblocks for someone else or a stumbling block for someone else? But here's God in his ultimate grace and mercy. Man who he has created said, we want a natural man to follow. We don't want to have to listen to your voice. We want more rules than your 10. How foolish. We want 630 some laws. We don't want 10. That's just too little. You know, we want to be like the rest of them. But God didn't put a stumbling block. He said, I'm going to empower this ruler. I'm going to change him into another man so that you will have every opportunity to walk in success. Even when they rebelled against the King of Kings, he did not try to destroy them. But he did everything in his power to give them a leader that would lead them in righteousness. That's what God does. God's not here to try to trip you up. God is not playing games and trying to see, oh, watch that. Oh, they're going to fall. Watch that. I'm going to test them just to see if I can trip them up again, just to see if I can make a mistake again. No, he said, I want to give you the Holy Ghost. I want to give you the power because I need you changed into a different man. I need you changed into a different person. And what's the church do at large in America, not here? We don't want that. Isn't that amazing? God sets a man up to be completely successful, led by the very Spirit of God that breathed life into man, that formed the world that we live in. And then the church says, I don't want that. I don't know about you, but I need change every day in my life to become closer and closer to him. I need to live in such a way that others would walk in victory and in freedom. God has given us every advantage to overcome and to live free from the foolishness of this world. How much of our lives is the foolishness of this world invading? And I would just ask you to bring me your cell phones and let's look at how much screen time. You want to see how much foolishness is piped into your head? Now, there's good stuff you can watch. There's no doubt.
But there's good stuff you can do rather than just watch. There's a lot of men and women in here that God has anointed you. He's filled you with the Spirit of God. He's changed you into a different person in order to give him glory, to step out in faith into another realm where you're not worried about other people, but you're so hungry for him that you said, Lord, at all costs, I'll follow. Always gets quiet when I say those things. What is it about us? Here God took care of Saul, gave him every opportunity to be successful. Why do you think he would treat you any differently? He has given you every single thing you need that pertains to what? Life and godliness. So there's nothing lacking for your success in him when we lay down our lives according to his word, when we receive the very power of the Holy Ghost in us so that we can be changed into a different man or woman. And then therefore, no matter where you walk, people's lives are changed. Isn't that the key? If we look at your life and my life, right? We're all looking at our own lives. How many people's lives are changed because of the Christ in us? Right? Because isn't that what life is about? Isn't that what life living in Jesus Christ is all about? He changed me. He saved me. He washed me. He made me whole. He empowered me. He gave me everything that pertains to life and godliness. So I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of man's opinion. See, I can stand up here now. I couldn't do it before. But I can stand up here now with everybody looking, knowing you're going to see flaws, knowing you're going to see mistakes, knowing that my life is lived in a fishbowl. But he's worthy of complete surrender at the cost of looking silly, at the cost of making mistakes, at the cost of failure lived out before man. Every man in the New Testament made mistakes and had failures. And isn't it beautiful how God didn't hide them from us? Isn't that beautiful? He didn't hide that king, that the people of Israel wanted a different king. He didn't hide that. He said, look, this is what man does. I want it my way. Peter said, you're not going to Jerusalem. You're not going. You're going to do it my way. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Isn't that amazing? The power that God gives each one of us to walk out what he has promised us. See, when you come to Christ, you step into another kingdom. And the history of your old kingdom, like we said earlier, you got to forget. Well, this is what I did and it failed. Well, this is what I did. This is what I did. This is what I did. Can I tell you? It's about what he did. It's not about what you did. You see, so if you're going to do what you did, you're going to be where you've been. But if you're going to do what he's done and you're going to say what he says, then everything in your future starts to change. Your whole life starts to change. Your speech starts to change. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 5 in verses 18 and 19. He said, be filled with what? Is that up on there? Okay. How about 17? Maybe you throw that up on there, Zach. Or no, I'm sorry, 18 and 19. Yeah. Is that 18? Do not be drunk with wine. Oh, yeah, with wine. For that is dissipation. But be what? Be filled with the Spirit. And then what's he say in verse 19? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord. We start to change the way we speak. Speaking to one another. Most people don't understand the power of the psalms. A lot of them don't even read the psalms. A lot of people don't read the word of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm reading the word of God. Tell your other neighbor, say, you need to read the word of God. Right. You see, that's the reality of it. I need it. I can't go a day without it. It's my very lifeline, understanding who he is. Therefore, I know now who I am. That no matter where we stand in the authority that he has given us so that he gets the glory and freedom rules and reigns in my life. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. You know, David, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, he was able to say things like, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
of whom shall I be afraid? You see, this is what happens when you read the Psalms and you start to agree with the Psalms. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He said, who am I going to be afraid of? I want you to say the same thing when you get up in the morning. The Lord is my light and he's my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Some of you guys need to look at your wives and say that, you know what? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. What can man do to me? What can any man do to you? Nothing. You die, you live, the Bible says. You live forever in the presence of the King. I want you to know that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're changed into another man. You're brought into another kingdom. You're made new and whole. You're made powerful. What can man do to you? They've tried to do a whole lot of things to you. They've tried to destroy you. They tried to push you aside. They tried to push you down. They tried to get you to say, it doesn't work for everybody. It only works for some. Baloney. Good word, love. It works for everyone who believes. Tell your neighbors, I believe. That's the focus. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you can say things like, whom shall I be afraid? What can man do to me? You know, I go over to the, this week I was over with the veterans, and they have, if anybody's a vet, I'm over there by Bagel Time, one of the little storefronts next to it, the first Tuesday of the month, they have bagels and coffee for free. And the vets get to come together. Doesn't matter where they're from, Greene County, nothing matters, just vets. All right, men and women get together, they have a cup of coffee, they eat some bagels. First time when it first started, it was like six of us that would show up. Now there's like 33 of them that come. Yeah. Yeah, so I just walk in. Man, a lot of them are old. They need Jesus. Because they're getting ready to meet him. And the first guy I walked in, he says, hey, Rev. I said, hey, how are you? He goes, not too good. He said, I had a stroke and I can't feel nothing in my left arm. I said, oh, well, give me your arm. And he goes, okay. And he gives me his arm, takes off his hat, prayed for him for healing. Everybody else just sits there and just looks down. What can man do to me? Because when we step out in faith, not worrying about what people say, but standing on the word of God, because he said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's right. So a couple other men that go in there, they were like, hey, Rev. And one said, hey, I'm going to come to the service. I said, love to have you. Another gentleman, you know, I've been there before. I need to get back there. I said, you certainly do. But see, because it's going where they are. I don't care how many wars they fought in. The biggest war they ever had was in their head and getting rid of what they've done for man and then grabbing a hold of what God's done for them. What can man do to you? No matter what room you walk into, when they're all meeting and greeting one another, you walk in unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you proclaim he is Lord. And somebody doesn't feel good, you say, give me that hand. Come here. Why, what are you going to do to me? I'm going to lay my hands on you. And then the King of Glory is going to come. And he's going to touch you. And he's going to bring healing and health into your life. Some people say, yeah, but it doesn't always work for me, Pastor. When's the last time you tried it? You wonder why people are walking around disenfranchised and disheartened? Because the church has backed off. Hey, Matt, Fleming, where are you? Oh, there you are. You backing off anymore? No? You all done backing off? All right. You finally got him straight? All right, good girl. You see, because when we agree with what he said and we press into what he has done, then everything becomes new. Amen? And your freedom is complete when we hear his voice and we agree with it. Stand up this morning. I want you to know that he's in the business of changing people's lives. You can hear his voice. We know in Genesis 3:10, it says that Adam, God and Adam were walking in the garden. He heard his voice. God wants to talk with you. But you're going to have to pull away from everybody else and everything else in your life and get alone with him. and he wants you to prophesy. Isn't that what it said in Ephesians? See, our speech starts to change. We start to prophesy over people. What's prophecy? What's the highest form of prophecy? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation says, amen? So when we speak what the word of God says, we start to prophesy over people's lives. And people are like, I don't know about prophecy. It's the highest form of prophecy is the word of God. So we start to speak that over one another's lives. You've spoken a whole lot over other people's lives. You've said a whole lot in the mirror looking at your life. And it's limited you. Okay, maybe just me. Now it's time that we start to prophesy. And in the morning, you start to sing that song unto the Lord as David sang. He is my light and my salvation. He's my salvation. All I need is him. And then when you get in the mirror, you start to discuss the word of God with yourself. Because whose report will you believe? We're going to say his. We're going to agree with his. We're going to sing his over our own lives. And then you're going to start to prophesy over your spouse and your children and those at work. Because I want you to know that your testimony is powerful. And it's a prophetic word because of what God has done in your life. So he's changed you into a new person. That's what he did for Saul. If he did it for Saul, he'll do it for you. Because we're under a better covenant, amen? It's a new covenant. It's better than what Saul. It came upon Saul. He said, I want to fill you. I want to fill you. I want to fill you. So therefore, it's there every single moment of the day, not just once in a while. So this morning, as we close, I want you to think about how many people are better because I'm walking close to the Lord. That's what life is. We walk out of our house, we meet people. We're kind, we're generous, we're giving kind words, encouraging, strengthening. Why? Because we've been created a whole new person. It's not about how much I can get, but it's about how much I can give into someone who's hurting, someone who's lost, someone who's getting ready to jump off the bridge, someone who's preparing to overdose. You see, people's lives are changed. I don't care how deep the darkness is. You're the light of the world when you walk with Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And people's lives start to change when we preach Christ and him crucified. Amen? Good. You ready to go to battle? You ready to go to war? What can man do to you? Whose report are you going to believe? Afraid of. Just turn to the person and look at him next to you. Ain't scared. I'm not afraid of you, Josh. Care how big you are. You either, Jeremiah. I ain't afraid of the two of you just trying to tag team. I'll take you both. Not really. Maybe with like four or five guys helping me, but just want you to know, there's no room in your life for fear. There's no room. You're loved with an everlasting love. How many lives are being changed by the love of God in you? Let's sit down and think about the circles that we run in, and let's start looking at changing people's lives. Not worrying about them. What are they going to do to you? Nothing. You've been changed into a new person. You're free this morning. Amen. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. I thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. I thank you for the peace that you bring when you walk into our lives. Lord, and you just squelch all of the static in our lives. All of the foolishness, it just dies. And this morning, Lord, we come before you and we say thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son. And as my friend said yesterday, I'll lay my life down, but I would have never sacrificed my son. I don't have that kind of a love, but Father, that's the love you have. That's the love that you poured out for each one of us, that the only begotten, the Creator, was sacrificed for the created.
What manner of love is this? And when that blood was shed, you said it was enough to wash away all the guilty stain. And so this morning, I want you to agree with me. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, remember what we said earlier. There is no other name. You can argue. You can fight against it. But one day we're going to close our eyes and you'll know that I've told you the truth this morning. And so, church, let's join in. If you've never accepted him, we want to pray now that you have an opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity to be changed in a moment by an act of faith according to his word, where you come into an agreement with the one who has created you. Let's pray, church, and say, Father, I come before you right now, and I agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I agree that no other name is given for salvation. I agree that that blood was to wash away my sins. And right now, I speak to every curse over my life and say, you're broken in Jesus' name. I agree that from this day forward, I'll serve the Lord. I repent of all my sins, and I agree that I'm made whole and new. I'm washed, I'm cleansed, and I'm free in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Now listen. Now listen, I want you to know, this is not about a prayer. That's the beginning. This is about repentance. It's about turning your life around and walking in a different direction. It's about walking with brothers and sisters that are in Christ Jesus that will come along and hold up your arms to keep you strong, to keep you away from the snare of the fowler, the one that would try to trap you. This is not about one prayer, my get out of hell free card. This is about now I walk out the rest of my life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I served myself. Now I'm going to serve him. And I want you to know, he will treat you so wonderful. He is amazing. He took my marriage that was almost destroyed. Man, did he change my life. He changed us both. And I am so madly in love with my wife and all of our beautiful babies and grandbabies. He changed my life. I guarantee you, if I didn't know Jesus Christ, my marriage would have been long gone. Long gone. And I'd have been sitting in a pub somewhere. But God, I don't care how far gone the people are that you know, this day, this is that day of salvation for you. And now you're going to change other people's lives. Amen? Amen. God bless you.